Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach, Director of the National Cancer Institute. Joining us in our conversation is Tom Berlin. Well, Dr. von Eschenbach, in the last segment, you talked a lot about eliminating suffering and death. Does that mean we're going to cure cancer?
Paul, we're going to do more than just cure many cancers. There will certainly be a much larger number of patients for whom we can offer, if you will, a cure, our ability to eliminate a cancer and no longer have it be a threat to their life. But we'll do more than that. For many other patients, we'll be able to be more effective at helping them never get cancer in the first place, to prevent cancer from even occurring. And there will be another group of patients in whom we may not be able to prevent or completely eliminate their cancer, but we'll control their cancer in a way that they'll live with and never be threatened by their cancer, much like a patient with high blood pressure can have that controlled and managed such that they can live with and never die from the result of their high blood pressure.
You have a very ambitious cancer agenda, and there exists already an infrastructure around cancer. How are you going to pull these together?
That's one of the great opportunities and also one of the great challenges that's before us. But you are correct, Paul, that we've been blessed over the past three decades because the National Cancer Act of 1971 gave the National Cancer Institute the authority to create cancer centers, for example. And across this country, we have 60 NCI-designated cancer centers, many more coming online. And they are enormous with regard to their individual areas of excellence. However, one of the perhaps failures of that process is that although we've created 60 individual centers of excellence, we have not really fully integrated them into a cohesive platform. So one of the initiatives that we launched is called the Cancer Biomedical Informatics Grid, or CABIG. And this is intended to provide a common bioinformatics platform that will enable all of our cancer centers to plug and play into what will essentially be a virtual web of our cancer information infrastructure. And that will enable us to go across the entire spectrum so that we'll incorporate and include in CABIG not only information that's occurring on the clinical end of the spectrum by virtue of data from clinical trials, for example, but we'll also be integrating and including information that's coming on the front end in terms of our basic research agenda so that as investigators are looking at breast cancer, for example, and doing fundamental basic research in terms of gene arrays or proteomics, we'll make it possible for that data to all be integrated in a common platform with common standards in an open access federated system. We'll enable clinical data that's being generated out of clinical trials in prostate cancer, whether it's occurring at MD Anderson in Houston or Dana-Farber up at Boston, to be seamlessly integrated so that the whole will become greater than the sum of its parts. And capitalizing on that kind of opportunity and infrastructure is one of the elements I believe will accelerate the timeline to success.
Dr. von Eschenbach, how will CABIG integrate into the national healthcare information network that's being deployed across both the private and public sectors, and over what time period?
Tom, that points out one of the very important features of all of these efforts, in that none of it is being done in the context of a silo, but really seeing our opportunities as not cancer-centric, but cancer-led. So we're looking at our opportunities to integrate these programs. For example, CABIG, as a bioinformatics initiative, not only is linking our cancer centers together, but we've reached out to the Food and Drug Administration, and FDA is a partner in the CABIG infrastructure so that we'll have an opportunity to seamlessly integrate the discovery data with the regulatory data. At the same time, we've also seen the continuum from what I'll describe as bioinformatics to medical informatics. And we have reached out in an effort with David Brailer, who's heading up the President's Electronic Health Initiative, to again create a coordinated, cohesive, integrated effort such that as we look at a healthcare system that's moving to an electronic base, we will be coordinating and integrating our effort in that same way.
Doctor, are there advantages or disadvantages to being part of a national network, and does it possibly raise other issues?
Now, I think that the healthcare profession really, quite honestly, needs to take a lesson from many other industries and areas in which they have embraced information technologies in a much more creative and much more effective way than we have in healthcare. For example, the banking industry. Our ability to use information technologies has essentially revolutionized the banking industry and our ability to exchange information. We're all walking around with little cards in our pocket that we can plug into machines on the sidewalk that will query our bank accounts and provide money to us in the local denomination and update our database. We don't have that capability in healthcare, and we need to create that system. And I intend that, for example, in the cancer arena, every patient that will enter a clinical trial sponsored by the National Cancer Institute ought to have an information technology infrastructure where, regardless of where they're treated, if they go back home and happen to have a fever in the middle of the night and they go into their local hospital, they ought to be able to access that information in a way that can inform their care, because currently that is virtually an impossibility to accomplish.
So this system won't be used just for academic research in your mind. It'll extend beyond that to hospital care and to clinics and physicians. So for what purposes, and how will you promote people to participate in that system?
Well, one of the interesting things I think the banking model tells us is the information can be distributed. It needs not be centralized. Your bank is always going to be your bank, and mine will always be mine. So we're not going to create a single national repository. It will be a distributed repository. And by virtue of the fact you happen to have a PIN number, that data, that information is under your direct control. So it should still always remain under the direct control of the patient. All we want to do is create an infrastructure and a platform that, with the patient's permission, when appropriate, the information can be shared. And the purpose of all of that is simply to serve the patient's needs and best interest.
As you well know, creating the physical infrastructure is half the problem. Getting those who have the information and the data to participate in it is probably the other half. Given the those in academia, their propensity to keep their data close at hand, if you will, notoriously protective of proprietary information, what ways will we encourage institutions and individuals and clinics to participate in this?
Well, one of the things I think is an important element in that regard is, first of all, technology. I think 10 years ago, being able to accomplish a vision such as this was significantly hampered by the fact we just didn't have the technology. I don't believe the technology is the barrier today. What we envision we can do is, as our cancer centers have tried to all develop their own individual bioinformatics platforms, they've come to appreciate the enormous amount of costs that are associated with that. And they've also come to appreciate that at the end of the day, no one institution is ever able to assemble all the information that they need in order to accomplish a particular goal. And they invariably have to share or collaborate with someone else. And when you find that your information from your bioinformatics platform is not compatible with someone else's, you're an island and you're isolated and you're no longer able to achieve your mission. So how are we going to do it? We're going to provide the infrastructure for them. They need not go out and purchase it and create it for themselves. We'll provide it for them. We'll create an opportunity for them by virtue of the fact that when they share information, they also gain by virtue of having the opportunity to share other people's information. In a sense, we'll continue to emphasize individual excellence, but we will recognize that we'll accomplish our mission and win as a team. And being a part of that team is probably your greatest motivation for wanting to join, because it's the team that's going to win. And by yourself, you'll continue to incur enormous costs and you won't accomplish your goal.
It's an interesting concept of the team, especially to such a broad group. As we look to the future, what are the implications of medical research converging with advances in information technology? We'll ask Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach, director of the National Cancer Institute, for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.